a song that needs no introduction or even back sell, but, you know, that was the Beatles. I'm Chris Wink, and with me is Chuck Vazganian.
Hey, Chris.
Back from his travels abroad.
Yes.
And he's here because you have Abbey Road in surround sound.
In surround sound, coming up at the Linda in Albany. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. 5.1 stereo surround sound. I was just there, and we just listened to it, and it's absolutely amazing. That's on the 17th of October. Giles Martin did the remix again. He's George Martin's son, and he's been doing all these remixes of all these re-releases. It's just amazing how sonically brilliant they are. And one of the things that's important to note is that I still go back to my original Sgt. Pepper album, the one I listened to for all those years, and still listen to that. I still listen to my Abbey Road album, my original Abbey Road album, and listen to that, and they still sound the best to me. But these remixes reveal something new about the music that we didn't have before. The drums are a lot cleaner. The mix is a lot cleaner. And actually, the mix on Abbey Road probably was the best recording that the Beatles ever did as far from a technical standpoint, because they finally, at this point, finally had a 24-channel mixer, transistor mixer, which meant it had compression and had effects on gates and things like that on every channel, and an 8-channel recorder, which they had never had before. They had only, the maximum they had was 4 channels, so they were always bouncing things, which meant that they would be losing some quality, and that wasn't happening now.
Now, Chuck, before we get too much farther away from that,
yes,
that first song, you led off with Because.
Yes.
Because why?
Because. It's a great, one of those Lennon songs. You know, Lennon didn't write songs about people specifically. He did some things. That was more McCartney's thing, you know, Eleanor Rigby and things like that. Lennon was more of a create something sonically that was interesting and give us a lot of visual images. And Because is one of those songs that just takes you in to the other world. It's a musical journey. It's so beautiful, such a beautiful song. The way that the instruments mimic the lyrics, everybody's laughing, and you can hear in the background the instruments go, ha, 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 ha. It's all there. And I hope you can go back and remember what you just heard and go, I did hear that. And it's just really interesting the way that it was orchestrated. One of the things about Abbey Road that's really cool is the Beatles had just come off of recording Let It Be, which was initially supposed to be called Get Back. It was a terrible experience. And 2 weeks later, McCartney calls up George Martin and says, we want to record another album, which George Martin said he didn't think that was ever going to happen again. And George Martin's deal was, if we do, we go back to the old days and the old ways, and I called the shots. They agreed. When they went in to record Abbey Road, orchestrations, a lot of it's George Martin. George Martin, again, once again, picks up instruments and is playing the harpsichord, the electric harpsichord, in this opening to Because. And I like to call Abbey Road the arpeggio album, because if you listen to it, almost every song uses arpeggios to great effect. I mean, it's really, and that's a Martin thing. It's a Martin, he used that trick over and over and over again, never as overtly, as consistently in every song.
Is that his classical background?
That's his classical background. Yeah. His classical background, and also the way that even the Beatles came in with the songs. When Lennon came in with this, he started off with the guitar, that picked guitar beginning, the arpeggios. Martin immediately said, oh, I have to play with you on this, and pull out the electric harpsichord, which, you know, electric harpsichord is sort of a oxymoron, but yeah.
It's kind of funny. So we're in the studio. Chuck Vazganian's here. Rockman Record Club. He's got a show at the Linda October 17th in surround sound, Abbey Road.
Yes.
I don't suppose we're giving it away. What is it like to listen to this in surround sound? Are you in the midst of the band? Is that what it is?
You're right in the middle of the band. When they do the Oz, that beautiful chorus where they track the three voices of the guys 3 times. So they had 9 voices going on. The voices are just all around you.
Wow.
You're in the center of the song. I mean, every song on Abbey Road is amazing in its own way, but there's just a lot of the way that things move across the sound stage. Because it's in surround sound, you can almost see where the cymbals are. You can sense where the guitars are playing from, where the main vocals coming from. You're just in the center of all of it. It's really beautiful. It's really great. The Linda is one of the few places around that can support this for live music. Yeah, it's great.
Chuck Vazganian, tell me a little bit more about your relationship with Abbey Road.
My mom turned me on to the Beatles, and that was sort of around the time of Sgt. Pepper. Even though we'd had a couple of Beatles albums, she had the Beatles' second album. We had that, and then she brought home Sgt. Pepper, and I started to listen to that, and that was about the transitional time for me. I was still really a singles kid. I was only 11 years old when Sgt. Pepper came out. But when Abbey Road came out, 13, I was really close to getting into my album stage. It's just such a great record. One of the things about it going back is my mom and I actually used to listen to Because and Something all the time. There's something about the vocals in that song. My mom was a classically trained singer and she was a music teacher at this point. The relationship that we had, while it was strained around a lot of issues around the way I dressed and my friends, was not strained around music. Yeah. Around music, we really could communicate. We could really talk. A lot of it was her teaching me, but it was also me teaching her because I was coming at it from a very, very different perspective. So I have an emotional connection to this album. But one of the things that, for me, is great, I talk about a lot how that the music that we listen to in Rockmont shaped the music that we listen to today. There is no album that shaped music the way that Abbey Road shaped music. Completely changed the way that music was recorded, the way people thought about albums as conceptual art, even though that had started really with Sgt. Pepper and sort of made a sea change there. It really took till Abbey Road for that to really take hold. Harrison, who always brought interesting and new instruments into the Beatles, his Indian influences, which changed a lot of the way that Beatles talked about music, but also Harrison was the guy that brought in the Moog synthesizer. And the Moog has a presence on Abbey Road, probably one of the first albums that I know of, that the Moog became an instrument like the orchestra was an instrument. You listen to this, and the Moog is there, and the synthesizer parts are doing all these little twists and tweaks, but they're not sound effects. They're part of the music, and they're orchestrated, just like the rest of the album. And that's Martin's influence, and that's Harrison's influence. George Martin always talked about how Harrison brought interesting textures to the Beatles.
Chuck Vasganian's here, Rockmon Record Club.
Rockmon.com.
And October 17th at the Linda, in 5.1 surround sound. Now, we're not in surround sound here on the radio, but we're going to listen to another track from Abbey Road right now.
Yes.
Something in the way she moves attracts me like no other lover. Something in the way.
So we're coming out of the song Something, one of the two songs you wanted to play, Because and Something.
Yes.
What a song, Something.
Oh, Harrison really came into his just due, as far as I'm concerned, with respect from everyone in the band. The rest of the guys all felt that Something was the best song George had ever done. George Martin felt it was the best song that George had ever done. In the concert for George, after George's death, Something is the song that McCartney came out and played. All the stuff says a lot. Harrison, unfortunately, didn't get seemingly a lot of respect within the band, but I think that Something really changed the way that everybody thought about him and about the way that he wrote and the kind of emotion that he could bring out of the songs. And Something really also owes a little debt of gratitude to James Taylor. James Taylor had a song on his very first album that was recorded for Apple Records. James Taylor was originally signed by Apple, called Something in the Way She Moves. Somehow that made its way into Harrison's head. He came up with this song for his wife, Patty.
Now, you mentioned earlier about how this was sort of the album of all albums, sort of the first time it was really the thing, not just for you, but for everybody, was the album. And now we're in the age where the album is disappearing, not just as a record or even as a CD, but literally it seems like it's a song. If it's not a song, it's nothing.
Not in Rockmon's world.
I understand that. But besides, sort of where you are with this thing, what do you think is contributing to this change, this sea change?
The way that we listen to music has changed culturally. You know, the advent of the MP3, the MP3 player. You know, we've gone through these changes before. It really has to do with the kind of lives that we have. You know, we live our lives now in this thing that we hold in our hand. You know, I sometimes say this about the phone is when I was a little kid, I used to walk around with the AM radio held next to my ear, and now I walk around with the phone held next to my ear. It really hasn't changed. I'm still doing the same thing. It's just a different medium. You know, when we took the album out of the physical, I think that's the thing. It has more to do with the way we consume the music than the music itself. Music is not a physical thing, and the album is a physical thing. It exists in the real world. these things are all of a physical aspect, a physical nature that is not a part of digital music. I think a lot of people bemoan the loss of a record cover. Well, if you want a record cover, buy a freaking record. You know, it's really sort of a simple thing, right? With the MP3s, I listen to MP3s. I listen to music in practically every form I can listen to it, including reel-to-reel tapes still. I still have a few reel-to-reel tapes that I listen to. Nice. It's an interesting question, and it's one of those questions where I think everyone could have a different opinion about it, but we all agree that there is a loss in not consuming the album as a complete piece of art. I say a lot of times that, and I've probably said to you before, if you took the Mona Lisa and you just chopped out the smile and just looked at that, you go, big deal. But you need the Mona Lisa with the hair and with the gown and with the river in the background and the mountain, and you need the birds in the air, and you need the whole context of where the smile exists in real time, right? The album is a complete work of art. It goes from track one to track whatever, the end track, and that's the complete work of art, including the physical art. Right. And all of those things are all part of it, and that's what we talk about, the Rockmon Record Club. In a lot of ways, there's a lot of people who will comment to me after listening to an album, that's the first time they've listened to that whole album in 25 years, 30 years. That's what I find for a lot of people, and that's not the way I listen to music. Personally, that's not the way I listen to music.
Chuck Vazganian of Rockmon Record Club here with me, October 17th, the Linda, not on vinyl, because they don't have 5.1 surround
vinyl.
No,
they don't. Yeah, unfortunately, they haven't figured that one out yet.
So he's going to cheat for this one, but it's going to sound amazing, and it's going to be great. It's at the Linda, October 17th. Abbey Road and Surround Sound. Chuck, thank you for coming by.
Chris, thank you so much. It's always great to talk to you, and thank you very much for what WEXT does. The music you guys play is just amazing. It's a great flashback.
Thanks. You wanted to end off on The Ballad of John and Yoko. Do you want to tell us a little bit why?
Well, I really like this song, and I like this song mainly because of how it's counter to what our understanding is of the relationship between John and Paul. You know,
it's not just really about John and Yoko, right?
It's really about John and Yoko, but yes, true. But it's John and Paul that record the song. Ringo's not on it. George Harrison's not on it. Matter of fact, at one point, if you listen to some of the outtake audio that's available now, Lennon goes, "Go faster, Ringo," to Paul, and Paul says, "Okay, George." They're buddies, they're pals, they're mates. They're doing this song. Paul's doing this song that's about how John and Yoko are the recipients of a lot of negative press and a lot of negative attitude from a lot of people. John and Yoko were on the receiving end of a lot of racism, very counter to the way John was about those things. He did not say anything about it, but he made it very clear in his music. And that's what The Ballad of John and Yoko is about. And The Ballad of John and Yoko is also about how Paul McCartney came to his friend's side and helped him say, "This is wrong. This is the woman that I love." And I think it's a really interesting, very sweet thing in the context of their friendship and their relationship. John worked with two creative people his entire life. One was Paul McCartney and the other was Yoko Ono. And Yoko is much misunderstood and maligned, but she deserves a lot of credit for not only deserving the love that John gave her, but receiving it. I think that's pretty amazing.
Chuck Vazganian, Rockmon.com for the Rockmon Record Club.
Yes, sir.
October 17th, Abbey Road and 5.1 Surround Sound at the Linda.
Thank you.